Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David takes a look at Jesus as he ministers in his hometown as we continue the Kingdom of God series. Let's listen.
What is your hometown like? You know, the place that you think of when someone asks you, where did you grow up? What is your hometown? Well, I grew up in a suburb of Seattle called Federal Way. And when I think of what's unique about my hometown, I think of a couple things. For starters, I think of the weather. If you know anything about Seattle, you know that 9 months of the year, it is cloudy, overcast, drizzly skies. I find that every hometown has their own lingo and language, and it was true for Federal Way as well. For instance, if you saw the sun, you'd say, oh, look, a sunbreak. Because the sun is breaking through the clouds. And you knew it wasn't going to last long, that the clouds would eventually take the sun up again. But really, locals would talk to each other and say, oh, did you see the sun break? The sun came out today, as if that was an exciting thing. In fact, I saw that there's a news article. Seattle has not had a fully sunny day since November 28th of this year. How's that for a place to live in the winter? My goodness. So what is the weather like in your hometown? How would you describe that to someone? When I think of my hometown, I also think of Mount Rainier. Mount Rainier is a mountain in the Cascade Mountain Range that you can see from pretty much anywhere throughout the town. So this is a picture that has normal, I think it's a restaurant, and there's just the Mount Rainier right behind it, which is commonplace in Federal Way. We would call Mount Rainier not by name, but people who grew up there would just simply call it the mountain. And they would have a saying that I think if you didn't live there, you wouldn't understand, but we'd ask one another, is the mountain out today? Now, again, if you didn't grow up there, you would think, well, of course it is. It's a mountain. Where else would it be? But what we meant by that is, can you see the mountain today, or is it covered up by clouds? Because about half the time, you couldn't see Mount Rainier. You could only see clouds. And so you would ask each other, is the mountain out today? Do you have any sayings or vocabulary in your hometown that other people who are coming for the first time would not understand? You'd have to grow up there. Today, we are going to study a little bit about Jesus's hometown. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. Everybody knows him around Nazareth. They saw him grow up. They know his parents. Now, if you move away from your hometown after being there for a while and then you return, often you'll say, it feels a little bit different. Maybe you've changed, or maybe the hometown has changed. And that happens a bit in our story today with Jesus. You see, Jesus had grown up in Nazareth, but then he left as an adult and began his ministry. And all of a sudden, as he's gone, rumors start circulating. Rumors that Jesus is doing miracles. Rumors that Jesus is healing people. Rumors of large crowds of people that are now following Jesus everywhere he goes. Rumors that some people are giving up everything they have simply to follow him. Now, in this time period, there's no YouTube, there's no Google to say, hey, what is Jesus up to here? No, it was all word of mouth rumors about what people were hearing about Jesus. Can you imagine how the hometown must have felt? Thinking to themselves, wait, we know Jesus. We know who Jesus is. We saw him as a toddler. We saw him grow up. What are all these rumors about of Jesus being able to do miracles? In our story today, Jesus comes back to his hometown for the first time after his ministry has started. Let's find out what sort of reception he gets. We begin in verse 16. when it says, when Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. During a Sabbath service on a synagogue, there would usually be a reading of the Torah, a reading of the prophets, and then someone would stand up and deliver a sermon based on one of those readings. The sermon would be rotated through a group of volunteers, so someone different would do it each week. Apparently, people heard that Jesus was coming back to town, and so they recruited him to deliver the reading and the sermon on his first day back to his hometown synagogue. Jesus chooses to preach on the prophets. The next verse says, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the year of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus is reading a section from Isaiah chapter 61. This section of the Old Testament would have been very familiar to the people sitting in the synagogue that day, because it was a text that they considered to be talking about the coming Messiah. It was a text that they thought described a person that God was going to anoint and choose to come to the world as Messiah and begin to make all things right once again. You see, they read that text and they said, someday God is going to send someone that's going to be good news for the poor. Yes, someday this person will proclaim freedom for the captives. Someday when this person comes, this person, this Messiah, will heal the blind. This person will proclaim that the oppressed are set free and that the year of the Lord's favor has finally arrived. The people sitting in the synagogue that day yearned for that time. They wanted the Messiah to come and make things right again in their world. Jesus reads this scripture, a scripture that he knows is very important to the people who were sitting there that day. Now, remember, whoever reads the scripture is supposed to then deliver the sermon for that day. And so let's go ahead and read what sort of sermon Jesus delivers based on this text. In verse 20, it says, Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. And that's it. Talk about a quick sermon. He has said everything that he needs to say in one sentence. And so that is his sermon. That's his interpretation of the reading of the prophets that he read to the people. He says, this scripture that you have been yearning for generations to be fulfilled has now come to fulfillment this very day. Yes, Jesus, in his hometown, is telling the people he grew up with, I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one, the one God has chosen to come and bring good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus is looking at people who know him saying, that's me. Today, I'm fulfilling that scripture in your very presence. Well, we are studying the kingdom of God. We've been in this series, and the kingdom of God is the type of world that God wants and desires to create right here on earth. As members of Unity, a question we need to ask is, how do we know if we are being successful in building God's kingdom here on earth? How can we tell if we are creating the type of world that God wants to create? Well, it is here in this scripture that we read today, where Jesus gives us a picture of the type of world he is creating. Yes, Jesus is giving us the guiding principles of the kingdom. Let's go back to the scripture that he read, the scripture that he says he's the fulfillment of, to find out what those guiding principles of the kingdom really are. We'll get them on the screen for you so you can follow along, but the first one is that Jesus' kingdom is good news for the poor. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Poor should be understood as both a literal and a spiritual reality. Let's begin with the spiritual. Jesus would often say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is a spiritual way of understanding being poor. To be poor in spirit is to realize a deep need inside of yourself that cannot be fulfilled by anything else outside of God. Jesus preaches that it is good news for anyone who recognizes that they are poor in spirit and that they have a deep need for God. Jesus is saying that he is the Messiah and that people who recognize that need within themselves will view his coming as a very good thing. But it's not only a spiritual reality. Jesus' kingdom is also good news to the poor in a literal way. Yes, Jesus preaches good news to those who can't afford to live in their society or who are struggling to get by. How, you might ask, is Jesus' kingdom good news for the poor? Well, it's simple. Jesus is creating a kingdom in which people take care of one another. If you hear of a need or someone who is struggling, in Jesus' kingdom, those people will find support from others who will go to them and say, "Let me share what I have. Let me respond to your need." That's what we do at the church, isn't it? We hear of a need, we respond to that need, and in that way, God's kingdom is being created here on earth. Yes, God's kingdom is good news for the poor. That's the first guiding principle that we see, but it's not the only one. The second guiding principle is that Jesus' kingdom leads to freedom. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the year of the Lord's favor has come. Yes, in a spiritual sense, Jesus often spoke about how sin can feel like bondage. And he is telling the people that day, and he's telling us as well, that if you feel like you are a slave to sin, Jesus says that he is bringing freedom. To those who are spiritually blind in this world, who are stumbling their way through, Jesus is saying, "I will bring you sight." To those who are oppressed and persecuted in this world, Jesus will work for your freedom. Yes, these are the guiding principles of God's kingdom. So I ask again, how do we, as members of Unity Presbyterian Church, how can we tell if we are being effective in creating God's kingdom here on earth? Well, based off what we read today, I think there's a couple of questions that we can ask ourselves. For instance, would the poor in the Denver area look at Unity Presbyterian Church and say, "They are good news for my life"? Will those who are captive to unhealthy patterns of their life find freedom in the teachings of Jesus that are proclaimed here at Unity? Will those who are blind and stumbling their way through life, will they regain their sight of a godly vision of the world through this church? Will those who are oppressed by unjust practices and attitudes of the world, will they find a church that is working towards their freedom? The extent that Unity can answer these questions in the affirmative is the extent to which we are creating God's kingdom here on earth. Well, personally, I believe that Unity is doing a tremendous job in these areas. And I believe that we must keep these guiding principles in our sight and at the forefront of our decision making to make sure we continue in this tract of expanding God's beautiful kingdom here on earth. Yes, I'm very excited about the marching orders that Jesus has given us as a church. But not everyone was so excited about Jesus' words. Now, it turns out when Jesus revealed all of this to his hometown, there wasn't quite the response that I might expect. In the next verse, it says, "Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. But some asked, 'How can this be? Isn't this Joseph's son?'" You see, some of the synagogue looked at Jesus and said, "There's no way that Jesus can be the Messiah. We know him. We saw him grow up. There's not any way that this can be true." I'm a big sports fan. I really loved the Super Bowl the last week. And I know that we in Carolina have not had as much to root for in recent years. And I've adopted your team, so I include myself in that. But what we do have to look forward to is the draft, don't we? Because in the draft, you can start rebuilding your team. You can recruit people from college that can hopefully make your team better. And you know what makes the draft especially exciting? Is when you can draft one of those hometown people. One of the people that grew up and played for your high schools and played for your colleges. That comes to fruition in times like in the NBA draft. Do you remember when LeBron James was first drafted? And how much excitement there was because he was drafted by Cleveland and he grew up in Akron, a suburb of Cleveland. They said, "Oh, he's one of us. He's the hometown boy. We're really excited to draft him." That happened with Cal Ripken Jr., who's played Major League Baseball, stayed 36 years in one organization. Yes, there are all these examples in Major League sports of saying, we know him. It's our hometown hero. Well, apparently that's more of a modern day concept because Jesus did not get the same response when he came to his hometown and said, "This is what I am bringing to the world." People got quite upset in the synagogue that day. Jesus responds to them and he says, "You will undoubtedly quote at me this proverb, 'Doctor, heal yourself,' meaning do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." Yes, the people looked at Jesus and thought to themselves, "Okay, if you can do all these things you're rumored to do, if you can heal people, if you can do miracles, then do it right now. Put on a show. Let's see what you can do, Jesus." And Jesus says, "No, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to put on a show. Just trust and believe in who I am." Apparently, they become so enraged that they take Jesus outside and attempt to throw him off a cliff. It says, "When they heard this, the people of the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way." Well, I hope we understand something that Jesus' hometown did not. That Jesus, God in the flesh, has come and given us the guiding principles of the kingdom. That Jesus is the Messiah. And that Jesus has come to make things right in the world. And we, as a church community, as people of God, get to partner with God to make it so. I heard a great quote that I think describes this well in what each of us is called to. It's by Richard Rohr, and he says, "We create the kingdom of God when we transform from hurt people, hurting other people, to wounded healers, healing others." That is who we are. We're not simply hurt people who then, from that place of hurt, lash out and hurt other people. No, we recognize that, yeah, we might be wounded, but we are redeemed in God. And that we can use the healing that comes from God and go and bring that healing to the world around us. And so I say today, may it be so.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.